Morning, everybody. Wish everybody had a good Chodesh. As we get closer to the days of Kabbalah Sotera, before we get to today's topic of Moetzei Shabbos, following that is followed by Shavuos, I do want to finish off what we left off last week. In particular, we had Mrs. Eskers asked a question which I was unable to answer. Because of the time constraints, so we'll go back to that. So,
thank you.
Back to Hilchos Lash. We said that Lash, which is kneading on Shabbos, is an Isur on Shabbos, but it requires three things in order to be considered Lash. Number one, we are dealing with two different ingredients, two different items. In other words, to mush a single item like a banana would not be considered as kneading on Shabbos. It's only when you mix two together, water and flour, and you make a dough out of it. Number two, at least one of the items must be small. So if you just take various items and you take big pieces and mix them together, that's not lush. And number three is that the mixture makes it gets bound together in a new what's the word? In Hebrew you say a gush. It becomes I wouldn't call it solid, but it becomes a matter of its own. So we said, for example, if you have salad and salad dressing, that's not a mixture that becomes a mixture on its own, but rather that's salad. And salad dressing is a mixture, it's not a new dough that you've made out of it. So just to recap, those are the basic rules that we set down. We also said there's a difference between a blila avo and a blila rako, whether the resultant mixture that you're making is of a thick consistency or a thin consistency. If it is thick, that's the regular case of lush, and that will be a deraisa, and only in extenuating circumstances will we allow you to do it alive shinoi, to make a change in it, which drops it from the deraisa to rabbanon, so for children or something like that, if you don't have anything else. And a blila rako, if it is a thin mixture, so then we said that that is a derabbanan in itself, and if you do it with a shinoi, then it becomes mutter. So therefore, if you were to, what are the shinoi that we pointed out? We said that the shinoi is that you change the order that you usually put it in. If you usually put the solid into the liquid or the liquid into the solid, this time you do it the other way around, and you mix it differently to usual. If it's usually stirred in a circular motion, either you pour it from bowl to bowl, or you shake the bowl, and if necessary, it doesn't work, then you can even stir it, but you should stir it not in a circular motion, but rather in a crisscross motion. So those were the basic rules that we set down. We spoke about dissolving powders. You should dissolve a powder and it turns into a liquid. So there's no discussion whatsoever of lisha over there, so you can make coffee on Shabbos, powdered milk and various things like that, obviously for the separate issues of bishul taken care of. Preparing egg salad on Shabbos. So obviously when it comes to peeling the eggs, one may peel the eggs on Shabbos, but since there's an issue of boira, because you're taking off the psoilus from the ochre, you're taking off the peel of the shells, which are unwanted from the food. So this is the way to peel eggs. You can't do it any other way, but still, can only do it if it's some of your sodas. If you're making an egg salad and you're peeling the eggs, it must be done prior to the upcoming meal and not for later on in the day. The eggs can be mashed because eggs are considered enum gidule karka. They don't grow from the ground, therefore there's no problem of chino in them. Then when it comes to the onions can be peeled again. Some of the soda, it has to be prior to the meal. When you cut up the pieces, there we say you do have to watch out for tochen, therefore do not cut it into very small pieces, but rather larger than usual. And then you can mix the egg and the onion together. And now if you want to add oil, so the minhag is that you can add oil without a problem. What happened to Elisha? So there's various explanations given by the contemporary Poskim on how to explain that there's no Elisha here. One of them, for example, is that Shlomo Zalman holds that you're not interested in making a mush, a solid gush out of the whole thing, but rather you want to see the bits and pieces of the egg. And therefore, you're not intending on making a lisha, a kneading over here. Some say because the pieces are left a little bit bigger, and they ask, well, what about if the yellow of the egg is very dry and it turns into a powder? So essentially, the way Mishavos comes at the Maskon, he says, the Minika Olam is you can add your liquid and you can mix it, and it's fine. However, because there are questions on the minig, questions on the reasons why it should be mutter, the correct thing is to avoid doing it, or lefachot, to do it with a shinui, that you should change the order. Instead of putting the oil into the eggs, you put the oil at the bottom, add the eggs later, and when you mix it in a different motion. And best of all is to have your egg salad prepared before Shabbos, and then you have no problem with this whatsoever. To mix powders that become more solid. Now, I remember when I was in school, one of the questions our teacher asked us, is jelly a liquid or a solid? And as far as I remember, he told us it's a liquid, and I can't remember why. But for Hilcha Shabbos, what he wanted to describe, what makes the difference between a liquid and a solid, is irrelevant. What we call a liquid is something that pours from one kli to another. When you tilt your kli over and it pours out, it doesn't flop out as a big mush. And it actually can pour out, that's considered a liquid, something that is sticky and doesn't flow nicely and it doesn't come out and doesn't separate, that's closer to being considered a solid. That's generally how we're going to compare discuss the difference between solids and liquids. So something like pudding and jelly and mashed potatoes, where you have a powder and you mix it with water and you make some sort of food substance and not a liquid substance. So then that one may not mix on Shabbos whatsoever, because there, even without mixing, without a shinui, you have a mixture which happens immediately and it turns and the whole mixture happens right away and becomes the solid that is wanted, and therefore even without the stirring, there's a problem of lisha on Shabbos. The only way to make them there is no way to make them on Shabbos. What I was going to say is that even if you're going to make them into a blilo rak, or even if you're going to over dilute it and it will remain liquidy, one should not make these things on Shabbos. And therefore, what we left off from last week is tchina. To prepare tchina on Shabbos, that is, you buy raw material tchina, which is the fresh tchina that has been ground and not mixed with any other ingredient. And then the way to prepare it is to add liquid, and one stirs it. I've never done this myself, but apparently, at the beginning, it's a liquid, and as you stir it, it gets thicker and thicker and thicker. And then you add more liquid until it comes to the constituency that you want, whether it's thick or thin or how watery you want it comes afterwards. But it seems to, what I understand, is that it goes through a stage where it becomes dough-like, it becomes thickish, and therefore, preparing tchina from the raw state into the prepared state on Shabbos is asur, because you have to make it into a thick mixture at some stage or other, even though at the end it's going to end up being thin. If you pour all the needed liquid right at the beginning, and it stays liquidy throughout the process, there's a possibility that this is considered a bilo raka, and then if you do the shinuim by changing the order that you put it in, the way you mix it, then it would be mutter to do it on Shabbos. And now, for the question we left off with, what happens if you have tchina and you want to add more liquid? So there we say that something that has been pre-mixed before Shabbos, adding liquid is not a problem on Shabbos. So if you've made yourself the tchina on Erev Shabbos. And now you took it out on Shabbos and you found that it was too thick and you want to thin it out. You want to add flavorings, if you add a bit of lemon juice inside or something like that, that is permissible on Shabbos. One may add the liquid if some of the liquid had been added and mixed in before Shabbos. So adding is permissible on Shabbos. So that brings us to the end of Hilchos Losh. And now we'll move on to today's topic.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I just ask one question?
Sure.
Sometimes I'll make the yellow of the egg and put it into the white. So I'll put before Shabbos the vinegar and oil and salt, and then leave the whatever I didn't get around to doing the mayonnaise. Can I add the mayonnaise on Shabbos because it's already in Elisha, even though it's really the same ingredients, but it's in a different form, it's a different food.
It's a very good question, because we did say earlier on, last week or before, that if you have two pre-made mixtures, that mixing the two together, making a third mixture, would be a problem of lush. So if you have your mixture of eggs and you have your mayonnaise, if you consider your mayonnaise to be a thick mixture, and now you're adding it with your eggs, and according to what we said above, that would be problematic on Shabbos. If you consider the mayonnaise to be more like a liquid, so since you've added in oil or vinegar or whatever it is before Shabbos, now you're adding a little bit more liquid, so then it should be permitted on Shabbos. So I would say, as they say in Hebrew, Be'eravon Mugbal, with a limited achrayas, that it depends on the consistency of your mayonnaise. If your mayonnaise is more runny and liquidy, then probably it's considered more as adding in another liquid and would be mutter. If your mayonnaise is very thick, then perhaps it might be also.
Okay, thanks.
Now for this coming Winter Shabbos, Mint Hashem, as it's coming up, we're going to be having Yom Tov and Winter Shabbos, and there are some complications that one needs to be aware of when preparing for Yom Tov. So we'll start with an introduction, and that is that Hachana, from one day to the next, preparing from one day where there's an Issur Melacha. Even if you're not doing Melacha, but you're doing just a preparation, and there's a Tircha involved in the preparation, preparing from one day to the next is Asur on a holy day. Meaning, obviously, the weekday is not Asur, but from Yom Tov to Yom Tov, if you have 2 days Yom Tov, from Yom Tov to Shabbos, from Shabbos to Yom Tov, those are all the cases where it's Asur to prepare from one day to the next. The exception to the rule is from Yom Tov to Shabbos, where you've made an Erev Tashin. So what we had at the last days of Pesach, where Friday was Yom Tov, and followed that was Shabbos, so we made Erev Tashilim on Thursday afternoon, so now we can cook on Friday for Shabbos, because that is permissible through the fact that we made ourselves an Erev. How that works is for another time, but that's the fact. But any other time, we cannot make Hachana from one day to the next. Another thing I want to mention is that when we discuss the holiness of the various days, we see that Shabbos is holier than Yom Tov. Shabbos is considered a higher holiness than Yom Tov, and therefore going from Yom Tov to Shabbos is considered as going up in Kedusha, whereas from Shabbos to Yom Tov is considered going down in Kedusha. Now, even though Yom Tov has its special mitzvah of the Samachta B'Chagecha, which Shabbos doesn't have, and therefore, there are certain things in Yom Tov where we see we are more particular about than on Shabbos. Nevertheless, what I said before is not contradicted. It happens to be a side issue with Yom Tov. It's a very important part, but it's another side. It doesn't make it more holy. Therefore, even though we're going to say that Shabbos, the person, Chas V'Shalom, desecrates Shabbos, And the Torah says he's chayv misa. He gets the death sentence. Whereas on Yom Tov, the person who gets death Yom Tov, the punishment for such a thing is malchus. That shows us that Shabbos is more chomer than Shabbos, than Yom Tov. Nevertheless, on Yom Tov, we have some things that we more makbid about. That is Simchas Yom Tov. Therefore, although we say in Hilchos Shabbos that the correct thing is to have meat and fish, but if you want chicken and fish, you're also fine. Whereas in Yom Tov, it's a question of Simchas, it's not just a question of kavod. Shabbos, it's a question of creating a situation, creating a meal that is considered an honorable meal. I was discussing this actually over Shabbos with someone, and then again I discussed it on the Chabad Sunday. If someone likes pizza, would you say that pizza, it happens to be his favorite food, would you say that that's what he should eat on Friday night? And strictly speaking, I would say the answer is no. Because even though it's his favorite food, this is not considered a food that one considers a, let's call it a high-class meal. If you're going to have the prime minister over in your house, you're not going to serve pizza, even though you heard from his house, employees that that's his favorite food. It's just not done. It might be sticky, it might be cool, but it's not done that that is what you're going to be serving an important person. You will do the regular and serve meat. You might change the type of meat. You might change meat for chicken or something like that, depending on the person's personal preference. But generally speaking, there's certain foods that we don't consider to be of standard, of class. And true, this all depends on, as we say, hakolafi hamokam behazman, the different places that we live in and the different eras and times that we live in. But that is pretty much accepted, that meat is considered the chosh of a food. For men on Shabbos, it's a question of creating a meal, of making a meal that is considered chosh. On Yom Tov, there's an issue of simchas Yom Tov. And therefore, the idea of eating meat on Yom Tov is much more chosh. Now, in both cases, just as an aside, in both cases, that the Shabbos or Yom Tov, no one is supposed to force himself and eat something he doesn't like, because that defeats the purpose. After all, eating is supposed to be done for enjoyment. And if it's going to be a pain, then we don't force you to do it. So if a person, for whatever reason, dislikes meat, then you don't have to have it. But people do, those who do like meat, it's a mitzvah to have meat in Yom Tov. There are opinions to hold that the mitzvah to eat meat in Yom Tov doesn't apply this man hachoven in our day and age. And then we will have a Beis HaMikdash and we'll be able to bring the Karbon Chagiga and the Karbon Shlomim. When we bring the Karbonos, then we have the meat. That is the meat from some apostle that you Makayim Mitzvah Yom Tov. But Zichah, there's a Din of Simcha. So what, one of the things we've seen is the type of food that we're going to have on Yom Tov. We're going to spend a little bit more effort on our Yom Tov meals. And also it's written down that our Yom Tov clothing should be of a better quality or a higher level or a higher class than the ones of Shabbos. But again, these are brought down as inyanim of Yom Tov. It doesn't make Yom Tov more important than Shabbos. Why am I stressing the order of holiness? Just to get clarity of when is it that we make Havdalah and when don't we make Havdalah. So when we go, like we have in Pesach, when we go from Yom Tov to Shabbos, we're going in increasing levels of Kedusha. And therefore, on Friday night, at the end of Pesach, at the end of Yom Tov, we made Kiddush and went into Shabbos. In fact, it's brought down that there's an Indian to make early Shabbos in such a situation because of the Erev Tashilin. Some did, some didn't, not important. The fact is that you can accept Shabbos early, because by taking Shabbos, you're only increasing the Kedusha, you're not minimizing from the Kedusha of Yom Tov. And therefore, you don't make a Havdalah on Yom Tov, you only make a Kiddush on Shabbos. Whereas the other way around, when we're going from Shabbos to Yom Tov, we're actually dropping in levels, and therefore, Shabbos needs a Havdalah. However, we're not going from Yom Tov to Chol, or from Shabbos to Chol, we're going from Shabbos to Yom Tov. It is a holy day. Unlike Chol HaMoed, which is called Chol HaMoed. Therefore, on a Moitza Shabbos of Chol HaMoed, we say the regular Havdalah. But on Moitza Shabbos of Nisan Tiyamzit, we make Havdalah, but we say a different Havdalah. We say, we end with the bracha, Hamavda bin Kodesh, the Kodesh, who separates and distinguishes the difference between one type of Kodesh and another type of Kodesh. So that's number one, is that on a Moitza Shabbos, at least in Tiyamzit, we do make Havdalah. How do we make the Havdalah? We make the Havdalah as part of our Kiddush, because we're going to make a double ceremony, we're going to make Havdalah on the departing Shabbos, and a Kiddush to accept the incoming Yomtov. And therefore we make what is famously called Yak Nehaz. Yak Nehaz is an abbreviation, Yud Kuf Nun He Zayin, which stands for Yayin, Kiddush, Ner, Havdalah, Zman. There are five brachas that we make in our Kiddush. The first one is Bori Pri Hagafen. The second one is the bracha of Kiddush itself, Hashekel Shanu. The third one is the bracha of the Ner, Bori Morei Ha'esh. The fourth one is the Birkas Havdalah. That is a special nusach for Kiddush. And ends with Baruch HaMavdu Ben Kodesh Kodesh. And the last one is Man, is Shechayanu. It's New Yom Tov, we make Shechayanu now. So that is what we do on Moitza Shabbos. So first of all, we point out that you make Havdalah. And second of all, one does not accept Yom Tov until Shabbos is finished. You can't take early Yom Tov on a Moitza Shabbos, because then you'd be dropping the level of Shabbos in advance. That you say one doesn't do, but rather one takes, one waits for Nacht, and then one makes Havdalah at night. Which also means that when it comes to Hachana, we don't prepare from Shabbos to Yom Tov. As I said, you never prepare from one holy day to another day unless you've made Eretz Hashilin. That doesn't apply in our case, Eretz Hashilin. And therefore, all preparations which are also from Shabbos to do for a weekday, you can't do for Yom Tov either. So you can't wash your dishes on Shabbos afternoon for Moitza Shabbos. You can't set the table on Shabbos afternoon for Moitza Shabbos. You can't even take a nap on Shabbos afternoon and say that I'm doing it so that I can stay up all night. So that's this third point I'm pointing out, is because there are certain things that you can do on Shabbos, you can do for the sake of Shabbos, but you have to know that you're not allowed to make it obvious or verbalize that it's not for Shabbos, but rather for later for Shabbos. So the same thing on a regular Shabbos, if a child wants to study for a test, you don't say I'm studying for a test, you say I'm studying. Now to learn Navi is no problem on Shabbos. To learn Navi for a test is also not a problem, as long as you don't say, I'm doing it for the test. So too, when you take a nap, you can take a nap even though you know it's a Shabbos, you have activities that you want to do. Just don't say, I'm doing it for Moitza Shabbos. Now, a more practical thing is also when you come to have changing of clothing. The person who wants to wear Yom Tov clothing, which are different to Shabbos clothing. So Shabbos, you're wearing your blue dress, and on Yom Tov, you're in your green one. So when do you change out from the blue one to the green one? So we're going to say like this. To change just before Yom Tov is the worst time to do it, because that shows that you're changing for the sake of Yom Tov. To do something on Shabbos for the sake of Yom Tov is not allowed. Whereas, if you did it earlier in the day, early in the afternoon you change your clothing, then you can say, listen, I got to be dressed for the next 2 hours. I'm not going to stay in pajamas or anything like that. So Mamela, even though I know I'm doing this for tonight, but it's not noticeable that I'm doing it for tonight, and therefore I'm enjoying these clothing now already, and therefore if one wants to change into younger clothing, one can either do it quite a bit before nightfall, so it's not obvious that it's for the night, or the other thing is wait till nightfall and do it after night. Now when it comes to Hadlakas Neiros, so as we know, one can light candles on Yom Tov. If you have an existing fire, you take fire from an existing candle and you can move one to another. You can't make a new fire, but you can move an existing fire. And therefore, that's how we light candles on such a night. But again, one doesn't light them on Shabbos, Chas V'Shalom. There's an Issur Melacha. You have to wait till after the Zman. The time in the Luach for this coming Moitza Shabbos is written as 8:23. And after that time, you have to make Havdalah. And once you've made Havdalah, then you can do Melachas, which includes lighting candles for Yom Tov, and you make the bracha Shekid Shano, the mitzvah of Itzavana, Lahadrik Nersha Yom Tov, and for those who have the minyan, you say Shechiyana then, and for those who don't, you wait till Kiddush. How do you make Havdalah? So there's three ways to make Havdalah. Number one is you daven Mariv, and in Mariv you add in the bracha of Atodi Eino, the nusach that's printed in the Machzeh or the Siddur, on the Shmoneh Esrei for Yom Tov includes a paragraph called Havdalah. Once you have davened and said that paragraph that is considered as Havdalah, you can then do Menachos. Number two, you can say Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. Here we have, as I pointed out, we do not say Ben Kodesh L'Chol because after all Yom Tov is not a Chol day, but we do change from one type of Kodesh to another, so we say Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. And number three is when you make Kiddush, so you say the Yaknahaz Kiddush, which includes the Havdalah Bracha inside the Kiddush. Those are the three ways that one can make Havdalah. So practically speaking, you're going to be having your meal later, when the men come home from shul, whatever the case may be, so you're going to make a kiddush later. So therefore, before doing any malachas on Moshe Shabbos for Yom Tov, you say Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. There is an opinion that when making such a bracha, one should use the nusach of Havdalah. That means the difference between the bracha of like a regular Moshe Shabbos, you say Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol, and what we say in Havdalah, Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol, Ben Ono Chodesh, Ben Yisrael La'amin, Ben Yom HaShvi L'Sheish Shemei HaBreitzis, is that when you make the short bracha, you're only making one distinction, you're saying Ben Kodesh L'Chol, whereas when you make the long bracha, you're mentioning at least three different things. According to Chazal, the proper Havdalah is to mention multiple forms of Havdalah, multiple forms of differences that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created, Ben Yisrael La'amin, Ben Yom HaShvi L'Sheish Shemei HaMasiv, Ben Or L'Choshech. You mentioned different items that have differences. There are those who say that on Moshe Yom Tov you should be saying that Nusach as well. And one says Baruch Hamavdil Ben Or L'Choshech, Ben Yisrael L'Amin, Ben Yom HaShvi L'Sheish Shemei HaMasiv, Baruch Ata Hashem, Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. There is such opinion. Those have the minig, you should know there is such an opinion. Now, some other halachas that pertain to this particular situation is when you do the Kiddush of Yaknahaz, the problem everybody asks is how do you do the mitzvah of Ner? When you do Havdalah, you light a Havdalah candle. It has to be a candle that is lit for the sake of light, and for the sake of Havdalah is good enough, and you make a brach on it, and you have some form of benefit from its light. You look at your fingernails. How do you do this on Yom Tov? Can you light the Havdalah candle? And if you light the Havdalah candle, can you put it out? So, because we're going to say that you cannot put it out, Kibbur on Yom Tov is Asur, and therefore to light your Havdalah candle and let it burn all night, most people don't want to do, and therefore what do? So, until recently, Minhag Yisrael was, you lit your Yom Tov candles before Kiddush, but mainly you had candles burning the Shein Yom Tov, and that's good enough to make Havdalah on them. So when it comes to, in the middle of Kiddush, you stop and you make the bracha Bo'ri Moriah Eish, you turn around and you look at the candles. Some actually look at their fingers, some people don't. But you look at the candles. Do you need to have an avuka? Do you need to have a joint flame as we have in Havdalah? L'chadchila, it's preferable. But because there are problems when it comes to doing on Yom Tov, Lower the possum hold and the answer if you don't do it. So some people have the minute to put the two candles together or to take a separate match and put it into the fire. Remember not to extinguish the match afterwards, just to put it down in a bowl or something like that. There's a shaila that when you have two things making a single fire and then you separate them and the fire gets smaller, is that a problem of kibbui? Yesh, v'yesh, some say yes, some say no. And Shlomo Zalman, as far as I remember, holds that the best thing is that you just look at the candles and don't do anything. In recent years, they've come up with a special idea, a patent, as they call it in Hebrew, in the local colloquial terms, or an Einfall, as they call it in Yiddish, is they come up with a Havdalah candle that's very short. So you light a new candle, and you make a brach on it. Personally, I am not in favor of them because the shaila is whether it's a Ner Shabbat or not, meaning you have candles already, who said you can light another one? Rabbi Kaab says that there are those who matir it because since you're doing it for the sake of Havdalah, so that makes it a near mitzvah. Mameli, you can light it, and it brings a raya from the Yahrzeit candle, which I'll talk about in a second. The problem is that it goes out after a couple of seconds, and then what have you lit it for? So what some people do is they get a slightly longer one. I saw this year they're selling longer ones than they sell in previous years. If you do have such a candle, the best is that you should light it as part of your Yom Tov candles, which you're anyway lighting, and then you have an avoka, which you can use for Havdalah. So we're running out of time. Just going to try to add in a couple of small things. That is a Yahrzeit candle. Someone who has Yahrzeit on Yom Tov, the minig is we light a Yahrzeit candle on a Yahrzeit. There is a suffix in the Pasuk whether a Yahrzeit candle is something you're allowed to light on Yom Tov because it's a very new minig, very new, only 500 years old, and therefore one preferably should use a 48-hour candle and light it before Shabbos and let it burn all the way through. The meal that we have on Moitzi Shabbos does not, you do not have to have in mind that it's Merava Malka, there's no chiyuv of Merava Malka on that week.
Hi, Susie. We do a nightlight sometimes. We might do a nightlight right before we light Shabbos candles. Instead of a Yahrzeit candle, we plug it in. An electric.
Oh, I see. But you can't plug in an Yom Tov.
Right. So we plug it in Friday night.
You have to plug it in
Friday afternoon.
Yeah. Okay. I think we'll stop there instead of being stuck halfway in the sentence. We're going to wish everybody